Well, friends, we come today to a special time in our congregation. Today we have the Lord's table laid before us, and we'll soon have the opportunity to take and eat and hear Christ say to us, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Drink from the cup, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood." The apostle reminds us that today this sacrament is itself speaking something to the world. As often as you drink the cup and eat the bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Today is envisioned to be a final installment in this sermon series that we've been covering. I've entitled Loving the Lord's Day. Today I want us to think about, in various ways, the Sabbath and the sacraments. That the Sabbath and the sacraments play an important part in the life, in a Christ-centered life. That if we would be loyal, faithful, zealous followers of Jesus Christ, that we ought to keep Sabbath and we ought to partake of the sacraments as they are administered by the church. If you look down at the bottom of your notes there today, you'll see that the Sabbath and the sacraments are put very near to each other in the fifth portion of our common covenant of communicant membership. This has been a very helpful statement. It's a single sentence here, if you'll notice, this fifth portion of the covenant of communicant membership. And I want you to notice the proper motivation for keeping the Lord's Day and for observing the appointed sacraments. It is so that I may grow in the Christian life. Friends, would you say that you're growing in the Christian life, or is your life rather stagnant? Would you say that you are actively pressing into Christ, or is Christ kind of an afterthought in your life? It is so that we may grow, so that we may mature, so that we may become what God has designed us to be, that we ought to not only practice, but we ought to savor. We ought to love the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, and the appointed sacraments of the church. So let's think about these two sacraments and the Sabbath day together. The signs of the new covenant point us to Christ. First of all, go back to the beginning of your Christian life. Baptism is a cleansing sign. It represents entrance into the visible church. This is why Jesus says, "Go and make disciples," baptizing them literally into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of entrance, a sign of cleansing. The Lord's Supper is a feeding sign of communion, literally of community with Christ. You can only have community when the community is in communion with one another. And so Christ commands us, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink from it, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood." And then to connect to these two familiar sacraments, the Lord's Day, I also have argued, is a sign of the new covenant. That what when we say the Lord's Day, what we are stating is what theologians have called the Christian Sabbath principle, or the first day Sabbath. And this Lord's Day is a resting sign. It's a sign that involves us not doing anything. It's a resting sign whereby the covenant community gathers to partake of the means of grace. It's interesting that the sacraments are administered by the church on the Sabbath day. If no one keeps Sabbath, if no one ceases from their work in order to attend and upon the means of grace, then the sacraments are not available to people. And so we have a sacrament dealing with coming into the church. We have a sacrament dealing with living in fellowship with Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we have the Lord's Day, a time-related command of God, and of Christ, so that we can, on the Lord's Day, experience the blessing of being together as the body of Christ, of worshiping our God together in the unity of the church. So today I want to call you to utilize these biblical signs as what they truly are, as means of grace, as they point us toward Jesus Christ as loyal and faithful disciples of His. So what I'd like to do today is look at just a couple of verses in this passage and notice how the Sabbath and the sacraments, in fact, are the substance of what Christ is calling us to here in this passage. So the first point today is that the Sabbath and the sacraments are instituted by Christ. Again, the beautiful thing that comes to us here, the reason that the Bible is so important in our Christian lives, is we're not getting the accretions of tradition, or we're not getting the spin of some zealous priest or theologian. That when we read our Bibles, we are reading ancient documents written down by the eyewitnesses themselves, and they tell us Christ established the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We see that Christ Himself said, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Who is it that you worship on the Sabbath day? It's the Lord. But who is the Lord? He is the Son of Man. Friends, the sacraments and the Sabbath point us to Christ Himself. Now, I want to remind us that in all three of these, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and in the sacraments, there are two pointers. Number one, there is a historical memorial pointer. Think about this, that in baptism is pointing us back to the past where we acknowledge that we were born in sin in Adam. It's pointing us to the future, to the time when our faith will be sight, when we will no longer bear a sin nature, when the presence of sin will be gone forever. Baptism is a historical memorial of our sin. The Lord's Supper is a memorial of the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. It points us back over two millennia to the time when Christ Himself died upon the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then think about the Sabbath. The Sabbath also has a memorial function. It's reminding us of creation. It's reminding us of the Exodus. It's reminding us of the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. They're instituted by Christ first as a memorial, but second of all, these are instituted by Christ as a pointer to the future. Now, in particular today, I want us to think about this role of the sacraments as pointers. My experience is that especially children get confused on this point. They think that the reason we have this table covered up today and that only certain people get the sacrament is because, and I remember as a child, I would never have said it in these words, but I was persuaded there was something magic about what was going on. And if you've heard as I've tried to speak to the congregation about the nature of Christ's presence, I did not understand well the nature of Christ's presence in the sacrament. And I was really persuaded that there was something very sacred about the bread and the juice. And until I came later to realize, oh, this is not Christ. These are just the pointers. Now, I have an illustration. This is especially for our children today, thinking about how these sacraments, how the Sabbath, the first day, the Christian Sabbath that were instituted by Christ, how they are pointers. Not too many years ago, our family had a great big garage sale. Our children worked diligently to get everything laid out in our garage. It spilled out onto our driveway. We had tables. It was the big day. It was the time for the Johnston family garage sale. Now, Sue did the vast majority of the work, I will confess, but I had one assignment, and it was to go to the local hardware store and to get a symbol of our garage sale. And I brought that with me today. This was my job. I had to get three of these in order to get people off of Indian Hills Road onto our cul-de-sac. And this is a pointer. It's a little sign that has an arrow on it. It has the really nice place. You can tell I got these from Lowe's if you don't already recognize the sign. But this says 2538 Southwest Winslow Court and the big words, garage sale. And so you need to think about the role of the signs, of the symbols of the new covenant. Very often we say there are two, baptism and the Lord's Supper, but today I would remind us that the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, that was instituted by Christ by his rising from the dead on the first day of the week, these all three are pointers to something that is yet future for us. Now there's a roll. This is kind of cool. I can flip it. All right, and now the pointer is pointing back to creation, to the Exodus, but it can also point forward to the second coming of Christ. And so the reason that the sacraments and the Sabbath are important is because they function in our Christian lives as pointers. Friends, we need pointers. How easy it is for us to be distracted. If you remember when Jesus speaks of the parable of the soils, he speaks of the seeds that fell among thorns, and it begins to grow, but then the worries and cares of this life choke the plant so that it does not bear fruit. Friends, I'm persuaded that in the 21st century, we're living in a day when there are so many worries and so many cares, so many thoughts occupy our minds that the fruitfulness that God intends for all of us does not come in many of us. The Westminster Confession says that the sacraments are holy signs and seals of the covenant of grace. They were directly instituted by Christ to represent his benefits and to confirm our participation in him. They solemnly pledge us to the service of God in Christ according to his word. Friends, remember that the sacraments are instituted by Christ and they point us back to the great works of God in history, and they point us forward to the anticipated return of Jesus Christ. Secondly, this morning, the Sabbath and the sacraments are signs of grace. Notice what our passage here says. It says, I will give you rest. This is a promise that God has made to his people. He is the Son of Man. He is the eternal Son of God. He cannot lie, and he has said that to those who come to me, I will give them rest. And the Sabbath and the sacraments are both signs of grace. Now, when we say the word grace, we need to think about this word carefully. Grace is not a feeling. Grace is something concrete. It is something real that God gives to his people. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not because of works, so no one can boast. The gospel is intent on distinguishing between God's sovereign actions and our joyful responses. So point number one here is God's actions. He says, I will give you rest. You cannot give yourself rest. You do not give God rest. God gives you rest. Look at another passage here in verse 27. This is a remarkable statement of God's sovereignty. Jesus says, "All things have been handed over to me. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father." And now he's making a claim about himself. No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, friends, how does the Father magnify the Son? Well, he sent his only begotten Son into the world. He preserved him throughout his ministry. He raised him from the dead on the third day. And while his disciples were watching, he raised him up into heavenly glory. But how does the Son magnify the Father? Look at this word. I have it highlighted in my Bible. It says, "No one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So notice two words. First is the word anyone. Anyone. The gates of heaven are open to those who will believe upon Jesus Christ. But notice in the same sentence, those whom the Son chooses. We are elected, friends, by the Father. We are chosen by the Son. Has the Son chosen to reveal the Father to you? Are you one of those of whom he has said, "Come follow me, and I will bring you the words of heaven"? The Sabbath and the sacraments are signs of grace. First of all, they're signs of God's actions. But second of all, they are signs of grace in the sense of the benefit we receive, our benefit. Because God is active, we reap the benefit. And our confession is full of speaking of the benefits of redemption, of speaking how the work that God has done in creation, in providence, in redemption, how those things now bring benefits to those who follow God in the person of Jesus Christ. The benefits are magnificent. Friends, do you realize that you have a new identity? That one of the benefits of the cross is that when Satan comes to you and tempts you, you say, "God is faithful. He will not allow me to be tempted beyond what I am able. Then what I need to do in my temptation is I need to run to Christ. Oh Christ, give me the strength to endure this temptation." The sacraments and the Sabbath are real means of grace. Friends, do you see that the Sabbath is teaching us the gospel? It's teaching us, stop trying to work your way into heaven. Rest in me. Let me do the work. Jesus is the one who was raised from the dead by the power of his Father on the first day of the week. Remember, as we read the New Testament as a whole, it says the Father raised the Son. It says the Son raised himself. It says the Holy Spirit raised the Son. We need to see that the benefits are ours. That as we rest on the Sabbath day, that as we feed upon Christ in the sacrament on the Sabbath day, that we have a means of grace at our disposal. Thirdly, today I'd like you to note that the Sabbath and the sacraments are means of growth. That they function in our lives the way rest and food do. Now I have four children. They are growing very rapidly. It seems like every one of the children in our congregation are just exploding right now. Maybe it's a summer thing, I don't know. But everyone is growing really fast. And I stand and I shake my head and I say, wait a minute, I remember when that child was a whole lot shorter. How many inches did they grow this week? But think about how we grow, friends. We grow from rest and we grow from nutrition. We grow from lots of sleep. My now new teenager needs lots of sleep. She needs to grow. And in order to grow, she needs sleep. And we also need nutrition. We need to see that these are exactly what God has given us in the Sabbath and the Lord's Supper. They're a means of growth. How is it that these cause us to grow? I want to suggest to you that the sacraments and the Sabbath bring to us three things. They bring to us, number one, our natural condition in sin. They help us, they give us time to reflect upon our natural condition in sin. If you want to put a word here, a big word, but a word that reduces all of this, it's the word anthropology. That baptism teaches us that we are dead in sin, that we are dirty because of sin, that we need to be cleaned by God. The Lord's Supper teaches us that we are hungry and we must be filled by something outside of ourselves. The Sabbath teaches us that we need to stop trying to impress God. We need to stop and acknowledge that we are sinners and trust God to deal with our sin. Do you ponder often on your natural condition in Adam? It's a good thing to do on the Sabbath day. Number two, the Sabbath and the sacraments are a means of growth in that they teach us that our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in Christ. Again, for me, this is the apex of this whole message. It is simply to see the person of Christ in all of his resurrected glory. Friends, he's not stuck on the cross. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He is the exalted king over all the kings of the earth. If you want to be legal, then fall on your face and worship the Christ whose law is over all the nations of the earth. Friends, what would you say to a hypocritical politician, someone who is their full-time job is telling other people what to do? I would tell them, friend, remember that you will answer to the King over all of us. The great leveler, friends, the thing that keeps the rich from being pompous, that keeps the poor from being envious, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the great leveler. All of us will give account to the one who is king, not because we elected him, but because the God over all appointed him to that royal position. Daniel chapter 7. We need to see that the Sabbath is pointing us to Christ. We need to see that the Lord's Supper is pointing us to Christ. We need to improve our baptism by knowing who we are in our union with Christ. The Sabbath and the sacraments are a means of growth. Do you remember, children, just a couple weeks ago at Vacation Bible School, we learned that Jesus is our hope. We learned that Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the one who brings us through death and into eternal life. Jesus is the one who is with us. Indeed, he says, I will be in you by my Spirit. If you want to put a big word at the end of number two here, the word Christology, the study of Christ, the study of Christ's person and the study of Christ's work. Friends, we need to occupy ourselves far more than we do with the character of Christ, with the content of his teaching, with what he did, with what he said, with where he went, with who he is. Christ needs to be magnified in our hearts and in our minds. And this is closely related then to number three. The Sabbath and the sacraments are a means of growth because they bring to us the benefits of redemption. We've already talked about this, but the benefits of redemption are manifold. We need to remember that there is a legal benefit. In our justification, we are declared righteous. In our adoption, we are declared to be sons and daughters of the King. This is the relational element of our salvation. Justification, adoption, and then this wondrous gift of progressive sanctification. God has promised, I will work with you. Follow me, trust me, walk in my ways, and I will work with you. And over weeks and months and years and decades of your life, I will change you to make you a trophy, not of your sufficiency, but of my grace. Friends, are you trophies of God's grace? Are you pointing people? Are you introducing people to Jesus the way Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus? It's a wondrous thing to see that as we partake of the sacraments, that as we enjoy the Lord's Day, it's all about Christ. And then this leads us finally to the fourth point this morning. The Sabbath and the sacraments remind us of the gospel. Look at the end of our passage today here in verse 29. It says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He says up in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." Friends, there is a yoke that we take up, but it is a light yoke. It is an easy yoke. It is the yoke of the gospel. At its root, the gospel tells us about the nature of God. As I listen, as I do counseling with people, I find that as we go through all of these things, we wind up at this question of the character of God. What is God actually like? We need to see that oftentimes underneath the unbelief, underneath the apathy in our lives, is a view of God that is not accurate. We need to see that God reveals himself clearly in the scriptures and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the image, the Bible says, of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? Look to Christ. You want to know what Christ is like? Look to the Bible. Don't look to all the spin doctors who are trying to make Jesus after their own image. Go to the book and see Christ in all of his glory. Look at how Christ describes himself in this passage. "I am gentle and lowly in heart." Do you think of God as gentle? Do you think of God as gentle? Sometimes we can get so consumed with bringing a message that we can come across as kind of rough and tough. But Christ says, "I am gentle." Now, he called people hypocrites. He talked more about hell than anyone else in the Bible. There's a lot of things Jesus did, but he describes himself as gentle and as lowly in heart. Friends, this tells us something about who God is. Notice then the conclusion here. He says, "You will find rest for your souls." God is also a God who makes and keeps promises. Part of the wonder of the new covenant is that in it, the old covenant is perfectly fulfilled. That Christ fulfills all of the promises of the old covenant about the coming Messiah. God is really serious about making and then keeping his promises. And when he says, "You will find rest for your souls," notice it doesn't say merely here, "You will find rest for your bodies by keeping Sabbath." It says, "You will find rest for your souls." Friends, I'm persuaded that what Jesus has in mind here is not merely stopping from our work, but involves entrance into the glories of heaven. Again, we can take our sign and point forward to the time when Christ comes and takes us to be with himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Do you long for that? Do you wonder at that? Do you let your imagination run wild within the constraints of the biblical text about what heaven is like? Do you think often on heaven? Heaven is the hope of believers. So today I pray that we might see the Sabbath and the sacraments guiding us to the person and work of Christ. As we prepare to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I would remind you that Christ himself is the object of the first apostles, the first disciples, love, and he ought to be the object, the great, grand object of all of our love, even as we follow his commands today. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you. Do acknowledge that the blood of Christ has taken away your sins. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you for the Sabbath and the sacraments. We pray, O Lord, that you would lead us and guide us now as we prepare to come to your table. In Jesus' name we pray.